kneeling with his head to the floor hurt his ribs, making it hard to breathe, much less chant. He didn't know if he was getting the words right, but Denna didn't correct him, so he just went on. How he stayed upright the whole time, without tipping over, he didn't know. When the bell rang twice, Denna rose, but didn't help him. Constance appeared, a rare grin on her face.
"My, my, Denna, looks like you've been having fun."
Constance backhanded him, but he managed to stay on his feet.
"Been a bad boy, have you?"
"Yes, Mistress Constance."
"Very bad, it would appear. How delightful."
Her hungry eyes turned to Denna.
"I'm free. Let's go teach him what two more Sith can really do."
"No, not tonight, Constance."
"No? What do you mean, no?"
Denna exploded.
"I mean, no! He is my mate, and I'm taking him back to train him as such. Do you wish to come and watch when I lie with my mate? Do you want to watch, too, what I do when I have the Aegil between my teeth?"
Richard shrank back. So that was what she had planned. If she did that to him tonight, as badly as he was already hurt. People in white robes, missionaries Denna had called them, were staring. Constance glared back, and they hurried off. Both women's faces were red, Denna's from anger, Constance's from embarrassment.
"Of course not, Denna,"
she said in a low voice.
"I'm sorry.
I didn't know. I will leave you to it." She gave Richard a smirk.
"You look to be in enough trouble already, my boy. I hope you are up to your duties."
She gave him a jab in the stomach with her Aegil and walked off. Dizzy, Richard put his hand across himself with a moan. Denna's hand came up under his arm, holding him up. Denna glared after Constance, then started off, expecting him to follow. He did. When they were back in Denna's quarters, she gave him the bucket. He almost collapsed at the thought of filling her tub. Her voice was quiet.
"Go and get one bucket of hot water."
Richard could have died with relief, knowing that he didn't have to fill the tub. He retrieved the water, a little confused. She seemed to be angry, but wasn't directing her anger at him. He waited with his eyes cast downward after he set the bucket on the floor. Denna brought the chair over. He was surprised she didn't have him do it.
"Sit down."
She went to the table by her bed and came back with a pair. She looked at it in her hand a moment, turning it around and around, rubbing it a little with her thumb, then held it out to him.
"I brought this back from dinner. I find I am no longer hungry."
"You had no dinner, you eat it." Richard looked at the pear in her hand as she held it toward him.
"No, Mistress Denna, it's yours, not mine." "I know whose it is, Richard."
Her voice was still quiet.
"Do as I say."
He took the pear, eating it all, even the seeds. Denna knelt down and started washing him.
He had no idea what was going on,
but the washing hurt, although it was nothing to compare with the Aegil. He wondered why she was doing this, when it was time to train him again. Denna seemed to sense his apprehension.
"I have a backache."
"I'm sorry, Mistress Denna. I've caused it by my behavior."
"Be quiet," she said gently.
"I want to sleep on something hard for my back."
"I will sleep on the floor."
"Since I will sleep on the floor, you will have to sleep in my bed, and I don't want your blood in it." Richard was a little perplexed. The floor was certainly big enough for the two of them, and she had certainly gotten his blood in her bed before. It had never bothered her in the past. He decided it was not his place to question, and so didn't.
"All right,"
she said when she had finished.
"Get in the bed."
He lay down while she watched him. With resignation, he picked up the Aegil from the side table and held it out to her, the pain from it hurting his arm. He wished she weren't going to do this to him tonight. Denna took the Aegil from him and returned it to the table.
"Not tonight. I told you, I have a backache."
She blew out the lamp.
"Go to sleep."
He heard her lie on the floor, whispering a curse to herself. He was too exhausted to think, and was asleep in a short time. When the peal of the bell woke him, Denna was already up. She had cleaned the blood from her white outfit and had fixed her braid. She said nothing to him as they walked to the devotion. It was painful for him to kneel, and he was glad when it was finished. He didn't see Constance. Walking behind Denna, he began to turn toward the training room, but she didn't, and the chain pulled taut. The pain brought him up short. "We're not going that way," she said. "Yes, Mistress Denna." She walked a while, down halls that stretched forever, then gave him an impatient look. "Walk next to me. We're going for a walk. It's something I enjoy doing occasionally, when my back hurts. It helps me." "I'm sorry, Mistress Denna. I was hoping it would be better by this morning." She glanced at him, then looked back to where she was going. "Well, it's not. So we will go for a walk." Richard had never been this far from Denna's quarters before. His eyes took little journeys to the new sights. At intervals, there were places just like the one where they went for their devotions, opened to the sky and the sun, each with a rock in the center and a bell. Some had grass instead of sand, and some even a pool of water that the rocks sat in. Fish glided in groups through the clear water. The halls were sometimes wide as rooms, with patterned tiles on the floor, arches and columns all about, ceilings soaring high above. Windows let light stream into these places, making them bright and airy. People were everywhere, most in robes of white or some other pale color. No one ever seemed in a hurry, but most seemed as if they had a place to go, although a few sat on marble benches. Richard saw few soldiers. Most people walked past Denna and him as if they were invisible, but a few smiled and exchanged a greeting with her. The size of the place was astounding. The halls and passages stretched out of sight. Wide stairs led up or down to unknown parts of the great edifice. One hall had statues of naked people in proud poses. The statues were made of carved and polished stone, mostly white, some with gold veining through it, and each was twice as tall as he. Richard never saw one place that was dark or ugly or dirty. Everything he saw was beautiful. The sound of people's footsteps echoed through the halls like reverent whispers. Richard wondered how a place as large as this could even be conceived of, much less built. It must have taken lifetimes. Denna led them to a sprawling square that was open to the sky. Full-grown trees covered the mossy ground, and a path of brown clay tiles meandered through the center of the indoor forest. They strolled along the path, Richard looking up at the trees. They were beautiful, even if they were bare of leaves. Denna watched him. "You like the trees, don't you?" He nodded, looking about. "Very much, Mistress Denna," he whispered. "Why do you like them?" Richard thought a moment. "It seems they are a part of my past. I can dimly recall that I was a guide, a woods guide, I think. But I don't remember much about it, Mistress Denna, except I like the woods." "Being broken makes you forget things from before," she said quietly. "The more I train you, the more you will forget the past, except specific questions I ask you. Soon you will remember none of it." "Yes, Mistress Denna." "Mistress Denna, what is this place?" "It's called the People's Palace. It's the seat of power in Dahara. It is the home of Master Rahl." They had lunch in a different place than they usually ate. She had him sit in a chair. He didn't know why. They went to the afternoon devotion at one of the places with water instead of sand, and after devotion they walked some more through the vast halls to find themselves back in familiar territory for dinner. The walking made him feel better. His muscles had needed to be stretched. After the evening devotion, in the little room in her quarters, Denna locked his arms behind his back in the binding device and hoisted it up, but not enough to take the weight off his feet. It still brought the pain back to his sore shoulders, but it made him wince only a little. "Is your back better, Mistress Denna? Did the walking help?
It's nothing I can't tolerate.
She walked slowly around him, watching the floor. She stopped at last in front of him, rolling the Aegeal in her fingers for a time, scrutinizing it. Her eyes didn't come up. Her voice was hardly more than a whisper.
Tell me you think I'm ugly.
He looked at her until her eyes finally came up. No, that would be a lie. A sad smile spread on her lips.
That was a mistake, my love.
You have disobeyed my direct order, and you have forgotten the appellation.
I know, Mistress Dana.
Her eyes closed, but a little of the strength came back to her voice.
You are nothing but trouble. I don't know why Master Rawl burdened me with your training. You have earned yourself 2 hours.
She gave him his 2 hours, not as hard as she usually did, but hard enough to make him cry in pain. After the training, she told him that her back still hurt and slept on the floor again, having him sleep in the bed. The next few days went back to the regular routine, the training not being as long or as strenuous as before, except when Constance was there. Dana kept a close watch on her, guiding more than she had in the past. Constance didn't like it, sometimes glaring at Dana. When Constance was rougher than Dana wished, she wasn't invited for the next session. With the lighter training sessions, his head started to clear, and he began remembering things about his past. A few times, when Dana's back hurt, they went for long walks, looking at the various astonishingly beautiful places. After an afternoon devotion one day, Constance asked if she could come along. Dana smiled and said yes. Constance asked to do the training and was given permission. She was rougher than usual and had Richard in prolonged agony, tears of pain streaming down his cheeks. Richard was hoping Dana would put a stop to it as he was on his last strings of tolerance. As Dana came out of her chair, a man came into the room.
Mistress Dana, Master Rawl has requested you.
When?
Right now.
Dana gave a sigh.
Constance, would you finish the session?
Constance looked into Richard's eyes and smiled.
Why, of course, Dana.
Richard was terrified, but didn't dare say a word.
His time is nearly up. Just take him back to my quarters and leave him there. I'm sure I won't be long. My pleasure, Dana. You can count on me.
Dana started to leave. Constance grinned at him wickedly, her face close to his. She grabbed his belt and yanked it open. Richard couldn't breathe.
Constance!
Dana had come back in.
I don't want you doing that.
Constance was caught off guard.
In your absence, I'm in charge of him, and I'll do as I wish.
Dana came and put her face close to the other's.
He is my mate, and I said I don't want you to do that. And I don't want you to put the Aegeal in his ear, either.
I'll do as I... You will not!
Dana gritted her teeth as she looked down to the shorter woman.
I am the one who took the punishment when we killed Rastan. Me, not you and me, only me. I have never made a point of it before, but I do now. You know what they did to me, and I never told them you had a part in it. He is my mate, and I am his Mord Sith, not you, me. You will respect my wishes, or there is going to be trouble between us.
All right, Dana, she huffed. All right, I'll mind your wishes.
Dana still glared at her.
See that you do, Sister Constance.
Constance finished the session with all the effort she could bring forth, although she kept the Aegeal mostly where Dana wanted it. Richard knew it went on for longer than it should have. When she took him back to Dana's quarters, she spent a good hour slapping him around, then hooked the chain over the footboard of the bed and told him he was to stand until Dana came back. Constance put her face close to his as best she could, considering her height, and grabbed him between his legs.
Take good care of this for me, she sneered.
You aren't going to have it much longer.
I have reason to believe Master Rawl will shortly be reassigning you to me, and when he does, I'm going to alter your anatomy.
A grin spread on her face.
And I don't think you're going to like it.
His anger flashed, bringing on the pain of the magic. It took him to his knees. Constance laughed as she left the room. He managed to get the anger under control, but the pain wouldn't stop until he stood. Warm sunlight was streaming in the window. He hoped Denna would be returning soon. The sun set. Dinner time came and went. Still, Denna did not return. Richard began to worry. He had a feeling that something was wrong. He heard the peal of the bell for the evening devotion, but couldn't go to it, being chained to the bed. He wondered if he was supposed to kneel where he was, but realized he couldn't do that either. He had been told to stand. He thought maybe he should still chant the devotion, but decided there was no one to hear him, and it wouldn't matter. It was long since dark out the window, but thankfully the lamps were lit, and at least he didn't have to stand in the dark. The two bells announced the end of evening devotion. Still, Denna was not back. His training time came and went. Still, no Denna. Richard was fraught with worry. At last, he heard the door push open. Denna's head was bowed, her posture stiff. The braid was undone and her hair disheveled. She laboriously pushed the door closed. He saw that her skin was ashen, her eyes wet. She didn't look at him.
"Richard," she said in a small voice, "fill my bath for me, please. I need a bath. I feel very dirty right now."
"Of course, Mistress Denna."
He dragged the tub in and ran as fast as he could to fill it. He didn't think he had ever done it more quickly. She stood and watched as he brought in bucket after bucket. When he was finished, he stood panting, waiting. Her trembling fingers started unbuttoning the leather.
"Help me with this. I don't think I can do it by myself."
He unbuttoned it for her as she shivered. Wincing, he had to peel it off her back. Some of her skin came with it. His heart was pounding. Denna was covered with welts from the back of her neck to the back of her ankles. Richard was frightened, and he ached with hurt for her, for the pain she was in. Tears came to his eyes. The power roared up in him. He ignored it.
"Mistress Denna, who did this to you?" he demanded.
"Master Rawl, it is nothing I did not deserve."
He held her hands and helped her into the tub. She let out a little sound as she sank slowly into the hot water, sitting stiffly.
"Mistress Denna, why would he do this to you?"
She winced when he put the soapy cloth to her back.
"Constance told him I was being too easy on you. I deserve what was done to me. I have been lax in your training. I am Mord Sith. I should have done better. I received only that which I deserve."
"You do not deserve this, Mistress Denna. It is me who should have taken the punishment, not you."
Her hands trembled as she held sides of the tub, and he carefully washed her. He gently wiped the sweat off the white skin of her face. She stared ahead the whole time he worked, a few tears rolling down her cheeks. Her lip quivered.
"Tomorrow, Master Rawl will see you."
His hand stopped washing for a second.
"I'm sorry, Richard. You will answer his questions."
He glanced up at her face, but she didn't look back.
"Yes, Mistress Denna."
He rinsed her off with water cupped in his hands.
"Let me dry you off."
He did it as gently as he could.
"Do you wish to sit, Mistress Denna?"
She gave an embarrassed smile.
"I don't think I would like that, just now."
She turned her head stiffly.
"Over there, I will lie on the bed."
She took his hand when he put it out for her.
"I can't seem to stop shaking. Why can't I stop shaking?"
"Because it hurts, Mistress Denna.
I've had much worse than this done to me. This was only a small reminder of who I am, but still I can't stop shaking."
She lay face down on the bed, her eyes on him. Richard's worry made his mind start working again.
"Mistress Denna, Is my pack still here?
In the cabinet. Why?
Just lie still, Mistress Denna. Let me do something, if I can remember how.
He pulled his pack from a high shelf in the cabinet, laid it on the table, and started rummaging through it. Denna watched him, the side of her face resting on the backs of her hands. Beneath a carved bone whistle on a leather thong, he found the package he was searching for and laid it open on the table. He pulled out a tin bowl, took his knife from his belt, and laid it, too, on the table. He stood and took a jar of cream from the cabinet. He had seen her spread it on her skin. It was just what he needed.
Mistress Denna, may I use this?
Why? Please?
Go ahead.
Richard took the entire pile of neatly stacked, dried alm leaves and put them in the tin bowl, then selected a few other herbs he remembered by smell, but not by name, and dumped them in with the alm leaves. With the knife handle, he ground it all into a powder. Picking up the jar of cream, he scooped it all out and plopped it into the bowl, mixing it with two fingers. He took the bowl and sat on the bed next to her.
Just lie still, he told her.
The appellation, Richard. The appellation. Will you never learn?
Sorry, Mistress Denna,
he smiled.
You may punish me later.
For now, lie still. When I'm finished, you will feel well enough to punish me all night, I promise.
He spread the paste gently on the welts, smoothing it out as he went.
Denna moaned. Her eyes closed while he worked. By the time he reached the back of her ankles, she was almost asleep. He stroked her hair while the alm cream soaked in.
How does that feel, Mistress Denna? He whispered.
She rolled onto her side. Her eyes came open wide.
The pain is gone. How did you do that? How did you make the pain leave?
Richard smiled in satisfaction.
I learned it from an old friend named...
He frowned.
I can't remember his name.
But he's an old friend, and he taught me.
I'm so relieved, Mistress Denna. I don't like to see you in pain.
She gently touched her fingers to the side of his face.
You are a very rare person, Richard Cipher. I have never had a mate like you before. The spirits take me. I have never even seen a person like you before.
I killed the one who did the things to me that I have done to you, and you, instead, helped me.
We all can be only who we are, no more and no less, Mistress Denna.
He looked down at his hands.
I don't like what Master Rall has done to you.
You don't understand about the Mord Sith, my love. We are carefully selected as young girls. Those chosen to be Mord Sith are the most gentle, the most kind-hearted that can be found. It is said that the deepest cruelty comes from the deepest caring. All of Dahara is searched, and each year only about a half dozen are chosen. A Mord Sith is broken 3 times.
His eyes were wide.
3 times,
he whispered.
Denna nodded.
The first is the way in which I broke you, to break the spirit. The second is to break our empathy. To do it, we must watch our trainer break our mother and make her his pet and watch him hurt her until she dies. The third is to break us of our fear of hurting another, to make us enjoy giving pain. To do it, we must break our fathers under the guidance of our trainer and make him our pet and keep hurting him until we kill him.
Tears trickled down Richard's cheeks.
They did all this to you. What I did to you to break you is nothing compared to what must be done to us to break us the second and third time. The more kind-hearted a girl is, the better Mord Sith she makes, but it makes it harder to break her the second and third time. Master Rall thinks me special because they had a very difficult time with the second breaking of me. My mother lived a long time to try to keep me from giving up hope, but that only made it harder on both of us. They failed at the third breaking, had given up, and were going to kill me. But Master Rall said that if I could be broken, I would be someone special, and so took over my training himself.
He is the one who broke me the third time. On the day I killed my father, he took me to his bed as a reward. His reward left me barren. Richard could hardly speak past the lump in his throat. With shaking fingers, he brushed some of her hair back off her face.
I don't want anyone hurting you. Not ever again, Mistress Denna.
It is an honor, Denna whispered through tears, that Master Rawl would spare the time to punish one as low as me with my own Aegir.
Richard sat numb.
I hope he kills me tomorrow, so I don't have to learn anything else that gives me this much pain, Mistress Denna.
Her wet eyes shone in the lamplight.
I have done things to hurt you that I have done to no other. Yet you are the first person since I was chosen who has done anything to stop my pain.
She sat up, picked up a tin bowl.
There is some left. Let me put it on you where Constance did what I told her not to.
Denna spread the alm cream on the welts of his shoulders, then on his stomach and chest, working up to his neck. Her eyes met his. Her hand stopped. The room was dead quiet. Denna leaned forward and gently kissed him. She put her hand with the cream on the back of his neck and kissed him again. She lay back on the bed, holding his hand against her belly with both of hers.
Come to me, my love. I want you very badly right now.
He nodded and started to reach for the Aegil on the side table. Denna touched his wrist.
Tonight, I want you without the Aegir. Please, teach me what it's like without the pain.
She put a hand behind his neck and gently pulled him on top of her. Chapter 43. Denna didn't train him the next morning, but instead took him for a walk. Master Rawl had said he wanted to see Richard after the second devotion. After it was over and they were starting to leave, Constance stopped them.
You look surprisingly well today, Sister Denna.
Denna looked at her without emotion. Richard was furious at Constance for talking to Master Rawl about Denna, for getting her punished, and had to concentrate on Denna's braid. Constance turned to Richard.
Well, I hear you are to be granted an audience with Master Rawl today. If you are still alive afterward, you will be seeing more of me, alone. I want a piece of you, as it were, when he's finished with you.
He spoke before he thought.
The year they chose you, Mistress Constance, must have been a year of desperate need. Otherwise, one of such limited intelligence would never have been selected to be Mord Sith. Only the most ignorant would put their own petty ambitions above the value of a friend. Especially a friend who has sacrificed much for you. You are not worthy to kiss Mistress Denna's Aegil.
Richard smiled smoothly, confidently, as she stood startled.
You had better hope Master Rawl kills me, Mistress Constance, because if he doesn't, then the next time I see you, I'm going to kill you for what you've done to Mistress Denna.
Constance stared in shock, then suddenly drove her Aegil toward him. Denna's longer arm came up. She slammed her own Aegil against Constance's throat, holding her back. Constance's eyes bulged in surprise. She coughed blood and dropped to her knees, clutching her hands to her throat. Denna stared down at her a moment before starting off without a word. Richard followed, attached by the chain. He sped up to walk beside her. Denna kept her eyes ahead, showing no emotion.
Just try and guess how many hours that has earned you.
Richard smiled.
Mistress Denna, if there is a Mord Sith who could raise a scream from a dead man, it would be you.
And if Master Rawl doesn't kill you, how many hours?
Mistress Denna, there are not enough hours in a lifetime to dim my pleasure at what I have done.
She smiled a little, but didn't look over.
I'm glad, then, that it was worth it for you.
She gave him a sidelong glance.
I still don't understand you. As you said, we can be no more or less than who we are. I regret I can be no more than I am, and I fear you can be no less. Were we not warriors fighting on opposite sides in this war, I would keep you as a mate for life and work to see you die of old age.
Richard was warmed by her gentle tone. I would try my best to live a long life for you, Mistress Denna.
They walked on through the halls, past the devotion squares, past the statues, past the people. She took him upstairs, through vast rooms of exquisite decorations. She stopped in front of a pair of doors, covered in carvings of rolling hills and forests, all sheathed in gold. Denna turned to him.
Are you prepared to die this day, my love?
The day is not over yet, Mistress Denna.
She slipped her arms around his neck, kissing him tenderly. She pulled her face away a few inches, stroked the back of his head.
I'm sorry, Richard, that I do these things to you, but I have been trained to do them and can do nothing less. I live only to hurt you. Know that it is not by choice, but by training. I can be no more than what I am, Mord Sith. If you are to die this day, my love, then make me proud and die well.
He was mate to a mad woman, he thought sadly, and one not of her own making.
She pushed the doors open and entered a grand garden. Richard would have been impressed had his mind not been on other things. They went down a path between flowers and shrubs, past short, vine-covered stone walls and small trees to an expanse of lawn. A glass roof let in the light, keeping the plants healthy and in flower. In the distance were two identically huge men. Their folded arms had metal bands with sharp projections just above their elbows. Guards of some sort, Richard thought. To their side stood another man, imposing muscles flexed on his smooth chest. His short-cropped blonde hair stood up in spikes, with a single black streak running through it. Near the center of the lawn, near a circle of white sand in a warm shaft of late afternoon sunlight, stood a man with his back to them. The sunlight made his white robes and shoulder-length blonde hair glow. Sparks of the sunlight glinted off the gold belt and curved dagger at his waist. As Richard and Denna approached him, Denna dropped to her knees, putting her forehead to the ground. Richard had been instructed and did the same as he pushed his sword out of the way. Together, they chanted,
Master Rol, guide us, Master Rol, teach us, Master Rol, protect us. In your light we thrive, in your mercy we are sheltered, in your wisdom we are humbled, we live only to serve, our lives are yours.
They chanted only once, then waited, Richard trembling slightly. He remembered that he was never to get near Master Rol, to stay away from him, but couldn't remember who told him so, only that it was important. He had to concentrate on Denna's braid to control the anger at what Master Rol had done to her.
Rise, my children.
Richard stood with his shoulder close against Mistress Denna while intense blue eyes studied him. That the master's face looked kind, intelligent, pleasant did not calm Richard's churning fears and the thoughts that boiled just below the surface of his mind. The blue eyes glided to Denna.
You look surprisingly well this morning, my pet.
Mistress Denna is as good at taking pain as giving it, Master Rol, Richard heard himself say.
The blue eyes returned to his. The calmness, the peace in Rol's face made Richard quiver.
My pet has told me you are nothing but trouble. I am pleased to see that she has not lied to me, but not pleased to find it true.
He clasped his hands in a relaxed manner.
Well, no matter. How good to meet you at last, Richard Cipher.
Denna drove the Aegil into his back with a sharp jab to remind him of what it was he was supposed to say.
It is my honor to be here, Master Rol. I live only to serve. I am humbled in your presence.
A small smile came to Rol's lips.
Yes, I am sure you are.
He studied Richard's face for an uncomfortable moment.
I have some questions. You are going to give me the answers.
Richard felt himself shaking slightly.
Yes, Master Rol.
Kneel,
he said softly. Richard went to his knees with the aid of the Aegil on his shoulder. Denna stepped behind and put a boot to each side of him. She pressed her thighs against his shoulders, bracing against them for leverage as she held his hair in her fist. She pulled his head back a little, making him look up into the master's blue eyes. Richard swallowed in terror. Dark and Raw looked down without emotion.
"You have seen the Book of Counted Shadows before?"
Something powerful in the back of his mind told Richard he shouldn't answer. When he said nothing, Denna tightened her grip on his hair and pushed the Aegil against the base of his skull. There was a stunning explosion of pain in his head. Denna's grip on his hair was all that kept him upright. It was as if she had compressed the pain of an entire training session into that one touch. He couldn't move, breathe, or even cry out. He was beyond being in pain. The shock took everything from him, and in its place left an all-consuming agony of fire and ice. She took away the Aegil. He didn't know where he was, who was holding him, only that this was more pain than he had ever known before, and that there was a man in front of him, dressed in a white robe. Blue eyes looked down at him.
"You have seen the Book of Counted Shadows before?"
"Yes," he heard himself say.
"Where is it now?"
Richard hesitated. He didn't know how to answer. He didn't know what the voice wanted. The pain exploded in his head again. When it stopped, he felt tears running down his cheeks.
"Where is it now?" the voice repeated.
"Please, don't hurt me anymore," he cried. "I don't understand the question."
"What is there not to understand? Simply tell me where the book is now."
"The book, or the knowledge of the book?" Richard asked fearfully.
The blue eyes frowned.
"The book."
"I burned it in a fire, years ago."
Richard thought the eyes were going to tear him apart.
"And where is the knowledge?"
Richard hesitated too long. When he was aware again, Denna yanked his head up to look into the blue eyes again. Richard had never felt so alone, so helpless, so afraid.
"Where is the knowledge that was in the book?"
"In my head. Before I burned the book, I learned the words, the knowledge."
The man stood staring, unmoving. Richard cried softly.
"Recite the words of the book."
Richard desperately didn't want the Aegil in the back of his head again. He shook with the fear of it.
"Verification of the truth of the words of the Book of Counted Shadows, if spoken by another rather than read by the one who commands the boxes, can only be ensured by the use of a confessor."
Confessor. Kaelin. The name Kaelin went through Richard's mind like a bolt of lightning. The power roared to life, blasted away the fog with the burning white-hot glare of his memories. The door to the locked room in his mind was flung open. It all came back to him, brought back by the power as it rose in him. Richard was one with the power at the thought of Darkin Rall having Kaelin, hurting her. Darkin Rall turned to the other men. The one with the black stripe came forward.
"You see, my friend, the fates work for me. She is already on her way here with the old one. Find her. See to it that she is brought to me. Take 2 quads, but I want her alive. Do you understand?"
The man gave a nod.
"You and your men will have the protection of my spell. The old one is with her, but he will have no weapon against an underworld spell, if he is even alive by then."
Rawl's voice became harder.
"And Demon, I don't care what your men do to her, but she had better be alive when she gets here, and able to use her power."
A little of the color left the man's face.
"I understand. It will be done as you wish, Lord Rao."
He bowed deep. He turned and left after meeting Richard's eyes and giving a knowing smile. Darkin Rall returned his blue eyes to Richard.
"Continue."
Richard had gone as far as he was going to go. He remembered everything. It was time to die.
"I will not." There is nothing you can do to make me tell you. I welcome the pain. I welcome death. Before the Aegil could come, Rawl's eyes snapped up to Denna. Richard felt her fist loosen on his hair. One of the guards marched forward, grabbed her by the throat with his big hand, squeezing until Richard could hear her struggling to breathe. Rawl glared at her.
You told me he was broken.
He was, Master Rawl.
She struggled to speak as she was being choked.
I swear.
I am very disappointed in you, Denna. As the man lifted her feet off the ground, Richard could hear her sounds of pain. Again, the power turned white hot in him. Denna was being hurt. Before anyone knew what was happening, he was on his feet, the power of the magic raging through him. Richard threw one arm around the man's thick neck, grasping his opposite shoulder. He grabbed the man's head with his other arm and in a blink gave a powerful twist. The man's neck snapped. He went down in a heap. Richard spun. The other guard was almost on him, his hand reaching out. Richard seized the man's wrist and used his advancing weight to pull his adversary into the knife. He drove it in up to his fist and gave a mighty pull, cutting all the way up to the man's heart as his blue eyes went wide in surprise. His inside spilled across the ground when he hit. Richard stood panting with the power. Everything in his peripheral vision was white, white from the heat of the magic. Denna had her hands to her throat, clutching at the pain. Darkin Rawl stood calmly, licking the tips of his fingers as he watched Richard. Denna brought on the pain of the magic enough to take Richard to his knees. He folded his arms across his gut.
Master Rawl, Denna gasped, let me take him back for the night. I swear that in the morning he will answer anything you ask him, if he's still alive. Allow me to redeem myself.
No, Rawl said, deep in thought, waving his hand a little. I apologize, my pet. This is not your failing. I had no idea what we were dealing with. Turn off the pain in him. Richard recovered and returned to his feet. The fog had cleared from his head. He felt as if he were waking from a dream only to find himself in a nightmare. The rest of him was out of the little locked room in his mind, and he wasn't putting it away again. He would die with all of his mind, his dignity, intact. He kept the anger choked off, but there was fire in his eyes, fire in his heart. Did the old one teach you that? Rawl asked, a curious frown on his face.
Teach me what?
To partition your mind. That was how you kept from being broken.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You put up a partition to protect the core, sacrifice the rest to what would be done. A moored Sith cannot break a partitioned mind.
Punish?
Yes. Break? No. He turned to Denna. Once again, I am sorry, my pet. I thought you had failed me. You have not. None but the most talented could have taken him this far. You have done well, but this makes matters altogether different. He smiled, licked his fingertips, smoothed them over his eyebrows. Richard and I are going to have a private conversation now. While he is in this room with me, I wish you to let him speak without the pain of the magic. It interferes with what I may need to do. While he is here, he is to be free of your control. You may return to your quarters. When I am done with him, and if he is still alive, I will send him back to you, as promised. Denna bowed deeply.
I live to serve, Master Rawl.
She turned to Richard, her face crimson, and put a finger under his chin, lifting it a little.
Don't disappoint me, my love.
The Seeker smiled. Never, Mistress Denna. He let the anger rage, just to feel it again as he watched her walk away. Rage at her and at what had been done to her. Don't think of the problem, he told himself. Think of the solution. Richard turned to face Darkin Rawl. The other's face was calm, showed nothing. Richard made his do the same. You know I want to know what the rest of the book says.
Kill me.
Rawl smiled.
So eager to die, are we?
Yes. Kill me, just like you killed my father. Darkin Rawl frowned, the smile still on his lips.
Your father? I have not killed your father, Richard.
George Cipher, You killed him. Don't try to deny it. You killed him with that knife at your belt.
Rawls spread his hands in mock innocence.
Oh, I don't deny killing George Cypher, but I have not killed your father.
Richard stood, caught off guard. What are you talking about?